Good morning. You're listening to Soundwaves. I'm your host, Kyle Clayton. We have a special guest. We're doing our nonprofit spotlight with Becky's Place. And we brought her into the studio today to tell us a little bit about their mission and what they do.
I can't hear you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for inviting me here today to speak and to share a little bit about Becky's Place. It's good to be here.
Great. Thanks for showing up.
Thank you. I thought, if you don't mind, I'd like to share a little bit about who we are and what we do.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Becky's Place, we're a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. We are a safe house here in Haines for women, children, and men who are in an abusive situation. We provide them not only with safe lodging, but with food and clothing and medical assistance, counseling assistance if needed, transportation both within Haines and outside. There's many times for safety reasons we have to get somebody out of Haines. So we fly or use the ferry. We help with dental work. Sometimes teeth are knocked out, vision, eyeglasses. Just the needs vary greatly. We seem to fall into the role of first responders. Most of our clients have just left an abusive situation when we get them. Many times with just the clothing on their back. Pretty desperate, pretty broken, frightened. We take them in, and the first day or so, we just let them sleep and kind of regroup and try to, regain their sanity back, their calmness, knowing that they're safe, the perpetrator can't get them there, right? So that's a big part of it. And then after they're kind of settled in, knowing that them and the children are okay, I listen a lot and we talk, and I find out what their hopes and dreams are and where they'd like to go or be. And we brainstorm many options and let them choose what direction, and then we work on obtaining that. So we're more short-term than long-term. When somebody comes to Becky's Place, we're there 24/7 with them. So they're never alone, which is really important. They stay 3-4 days, maybe up to a week at the most. We've had a few exceptions, but that's about it.
How many people from Haines versus coming? Are you a regional hub for this sort of thing too?
We are, but it's mainly Haines. Okay. I reach out to the rural areas in Southeast Alaska because I've been there years ago in the past, and I know how devastating and how real domestic violence is there. So we're available to anybody. If I have the space and they call, they're more than welcome to come.
And you recently had some renovations to the house in the last few years.
Yes, we did.
Tell us.
That's kind of exciting. We started out with an apartment for 7 or 8 years that we had, which was awesome and incredible in itself. But our ultimate goal was to own a home. And we actually ended up through a grant, obtaining a house. We had to, we thought it was in better shape than what it was when we purchased it. So we actually gutted it, totally brand new wiring, electrical, plumbing, everything from A to Z, new walls, new floors, new ceiling. It took about a year for total renovation. It was quite an undertaking, but it's beautiful and it's safe. And we've been up and running for the last 2 years in our new home. There's a fence. We have a backyard for the kids. So it's really excited. It's really good.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
How many, on average, people would you say you serve in a year?
About 30, 35 that actually stay at our house. But we get a tremendous amount of phone calls of people looking for information for themselves or a loved one or a neighbor, About 200. I've been trying to keep a better record on that. 250 to 300 calls during the year for people with questions. We go with them, accompany them to the courthouse for protective orders. And once somebody leaves Becky's Place, we really still interact with them and help them, which is a key component of our success, I think.
Yeah, sounds like. Yeah, I bet it's nice to have you to just be there as a support, yeah. How do you fund your services?
Through grants, mainly grants. I write a lot of grants. And the last couple of years, our community is amazing. I've had a number of people, they've had yard sales and donated their money to us, and some of the banks and the businesses. They step up, and at the end of each year, we send out Christmas cards to all of our previous donors, and they donate. So keeps our doors open. We're grateful. We're so grateful.
How can someone, if they wanted to, say, donate after hearing this, or if, at a random time, how do they do that?
They can call. They can, can I give my P.O. Box number?
Sure.
It's P.O. Box 1506 in Haines, Alaska. You can make it out to Becky's Place. We also have a brand new website I've worked the entire summer on. It turned out really good compared to what we had, and it's full of information, amazing information that can benefit anybody if they don't want to call but they're curious. So please check that out, and they have a donate section in there too, so that's another avenue.
Okay. Are there any things besides like cash that you need, clothes, things like that?
We have an account at Talia's where people bring stuff in and they sell it. And so I'm able to go in there and either take the clients with me, or I can purchase stuff for them and take them to the individuals. That and also at La Loft, both of them work really close with us. We love food cards from IGA or Old Rude, so I can give those out maybe in $50 increments or whatever. That's pretty beneficial and helpful. Everything else, we're set up really good right now.
That's great. What kind of advice can you give for anyone, you know, hoping to avoid a situation like this, or if they're thinking about coming to you? What would you like to tell anybody?
That all are welcome. We never judge. That you have value and worth, and you don't deserve to be in that position. We know it's one of the most frightening things to try to get out of it. To know your reasonings are valid and that you're not alone. Our promise is to walk through it with you and help you. Every step, we can't do it for you, but we can walk right beside you and let you know you're not alone. And that's major. That's major because they've believed for so long that they are worthless, that nobody would believe them or cares, that they can't make it or succeed. And they're pretty broken when we get them. And to watch that self-esteem kind of arise and learn to make decisions again, many of them, even shopping, grocery shopping, it's been so long since they've had that power to choose. Small things we take for granted has been stripped from them, and to see them regain that back. We've had so many success stories in our little town that is inspirational and keeps us going. I watch them turn their whole little lives around and are flourishing here. The cycle's broken with their children. They're just doing amazing, and that's what keeps us going. It helps.
Yeah, I bet that does. Yeah, that must feel very rewarding. Yeah. Can you talk more about the impetus for creating Becky's Place?
Where it came from?
Yeah, how did you do it? Like, what were you thinking? And that seems like a big challenge to take on.
That one is. It goes back many years ago. I had a sister named Becky who, without the family knowing, she was in an abusive situation. Hmm. And the man she was living with stabbed her. I don't know how many times, but she was taken to the hospital. They stitched her up, kept her a couple days, and when they were ready to release her, Becky went back to her abuser. Mm. And within a week, they found her little body dead.
Oh.
And he took his life later that day. So Becky's Place is in memory of Becky, that there doesn't have to be another one, that people know they have options and choices. So we made something, we tried to make something good out of something bad. That's my driving force. We don't know why she didn't say something to us and, you know, and try to get out of it. I don't know why. And I think of that often still. So that's what began it. And then also when I worked for Search, going to the rural villages and becoming more and more aware of how much domestic violence really existed there and how it was covered and the shame attached to it and the acceptance. It was just a way of life. I knew we had to do something. I know we couldn't change the whole world, but we could touch ours where we lived our little part, and that was our goal.
Talk about the how did you first start out? What was the biggest challenge of starting something like this?
Bringing awareness.
Yeah.
I initially was told it did not exist, and if it did, you just like get a hold of those women, slap them, straighten them up, and just tell them, you know. And I went to our government, I went to different people in it, and I had the option to either give up because it was beating your head against the wall or go out and get some statistics and documentation, which is what I did. Came back and proved it. It's been an uphill battle, but our community is so much aware and supportive and help now. It's night and day difference. Night and day. We could not do what we do without our amazing community. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it's very, this community really likes to give back. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What else would you like to talk about this morning?
Well, those were the key issues, so thank you so much on that. And to maybe share the realness of domestic violence in the United States, I think three women within a day die from domestic violence. Three women. Think of that. It's rampant in Alaska where we live. We're rated up, I think, number 3. As far as violence, that's just That's just unthinkable, the size, but the population of our state. So it's really real. I think they say 75% of Alaskans either have personally experienced domestic violence or know somebody who has. And I think it's even higher. It's impacted all of us. So we need to take the stigma and the shame off of it and let people know that there are people that care and can help them transition, that there is always a solution and a way. And not to prepare to make that escape, but there is people here. And if they can't remain here, we'll get them to the next spot, but we'll help them get on their feet. They don't have to remain in that situation.
Well, it's good to know, too, that, I mean, I imagine Becky's Place is known regionally. If you're serving people from outside of it, do they come here specifically to go to Becky's Place?
We've had some calls for it, and I'm okay with that, just as we send people to other areas where they'll be safer, too, if the perpetrator's after them here. So, but yes, we have had people call or... I just had somebody leave here, move down south, and called out to me and asked if I could help somebody where she was at, if she flew him up here, which is not the ideal situation, but I thought that was pretty amazing and honored that she thought we could help her friend and her child that much.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I gave some good advice. Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine it must be nice seeing the transition that these people go through over time.
It really is. It keeps you going. Statistics, I don't really believe strongly in them, but 3/4 of our individuals, the women, children, and men, do not return back to the abuse, and that's phenomenal. Most return back a number of times, and I think it's because we stay in contact and we help them.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the trend you're trying to break, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's so difficult, you know, when we get them in an apartment and help with the deposits. They have work and they make it maybe through the third week and then they're out of food and they're out of this and that. That's where we step up and, okay, we buy food for the week or we get clothing for the children or we pay a portion of the rent bill until they're finally 2 or 3, 4 months down the road able to stand on their own. We put gas in cars so they can get back and forth to work. Just truly, whatever it is, and the needs vary and it's all different ages from our youth to our elders. All nationalities, all homeless, well-to-do, all vocations, it affects all of us. So, yeah.
Well, great, yeah. And maybe at the risk of repeating ourselves, if there's anyone listening right now who's thinking about calling you, contacting you, what do you want to say to them?
Please do. I'm very accessible. You can reach me. My telephone number, my cell is area code 907-303-0076. You're welcome to leave a message, to text, to call. You can reach us on our website, any avenue, way you want to. But please reach out. Know we're here for you in any way we can be.
Okay. Thanks so much, Jackie, for coming in.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate being here.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thanks.
Bye.